Thank you for joining us on Holy Family Radio for Unapologetically Catholic, a show that embraces the unique and joyful ministry of Catholic education, engaging parish and school communities with one mind and one heart. We are Unapologetically Catholic.
Well, hello and welcome again to Unapologetically Catholic. I am Susie Furtwängler, principal at St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic School.
And I'm Betsy Edgerton, Development and Outreach Coordinator for St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic. And today we are welcoming Mr. Tim Eastman. He is principal of Hackett Catholic Prep in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. Welcome, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. As we start with the majority of the people who sit down at these microphones with us, we always like to know a little bit about you, and we start with just detailing for us your faith journey. Tell us a little bit about where you came from, how you came from there, and what brought you to where the role you're in right now as principal.
Sure. And as I was pondering this question earlier, you fed me earlier about what you might be asking. Mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out where to start, and certainly for me, a lot of it just starts, I grew up here in Grand Rapids. I didn't go to Catholic school, so I actually went to Creston High School here in Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. So I'm a North Ender.
Excellent.
Of course, Creston doesn't exist any longer. So I grew up on the north side of town, went to Blessed Sacrament. So I was raised Catholic, went to, Riverside and Creston and, went through the public school system. And so, as I talk faith journey, my first thoughts about Catholic schools probably weren't even that positive, because I'd look at, we kind of had that stereotype. You look at the students from Catholic Central and you say, oh, well, they're all from East Grand Rapids, and you're looking at these class, divisions, and, there's no way I'd go to a Catholic school, and it's just not for me. And so that's kind of where I started, and I graduated from Creston and went down to Kalamazoo College in Kalamazoo. With the intent of going into the medical field kind of pursued that course. I was a science major, biology major, and a chemistry minor. And so I was along that pathway. And after graduation, I actually worked for the Nature Center in Kalamazoo as an outreach coordinator with their summer camps and doing outdoor environmental education. And from that point, I was just hooked. I made that phone call home. Mom and Dad, I'm not going off to the medical school. I'm going to be a teacher instead. And so I actually went back to school and went through the educational process to become a teacher. In that time span, I actually applied for a job as a swimming and diving coach, which happened to be at Hackett Catholic Central in Kalamazoo. And I never thought I would get that job, because I came from a swimming background that was pretty strong. And I thought, okay, for head coaches, I probably don't have the experience to do that. But I applied anyways, and the phone call was left on my voicemail before I even got home. Hey, you're hired. Welcome to Hackett. You're a new swimming and diving coach. And little did I know what I was in for.
Right.
We were a nomadic team. I mean, we had a pool that had no start blocks, no diving boards. And it was my job to craft this team out of nothing. That was my first taste of Catholic schools. And so I was coaching at Hackett. I was going back to school. I was at Kalamazoo College for the year to finish out my education portion of my degree. Mm-hmm. And I did some subbing at Hackett. And so I think that was maybe my first taste of things. And I began to see that with the Catholic schools, a lot of those misconceptions I had in terms of who these students were, what they were about, how strong their faith was or wasn't. I mean, certainly you see the range.
Sure, you
and that's
do.
Something we deal with now, obviously, with kids and parents alike, is the faith is in all sorts of different places. And that's
right.
One of the challenges of educating in any system, and certainly mm-hmm. in the Catholic school system. But so I taught at, or excuse me, I coached at Hackett. The next year I finished my degree, the educational side of the degree, was certified, and ended up getting a job at Hackett, and I taught science there for 8 years. And so I continued to see the differences in the students, and I began to understand that faith life was so important to these students. It was important to their parents. It was mm-hmm. important to the life of the school. And that started to get the wheels turning in my own head. So, I was raised Catholic. I certainly had no issues with the Catholic traditions, but even then, sometimes I was going through those motions.
Sure.
I mean, there's no doubt about that. I'm certainly trying to lead a good example for my students, but there was kind of the school life and then, the after school life that I was working through. But in that time frame, met my future wife, and before we got married, she wasn't Catholic, and we did end up getting married. We were married essentially not in the church. I mean, it was we had a Catholic service, but it wasn't a full Mass because she wasn't Catholic. And in that time frame as well, I took a position. I left Hackett and took a position at Olivet College. So I was actually the swimming and diving coach at Olivet. I was the aquatics director. I was an associate professor in chemistry, and did all, you know, wore all sorts of different hats, which probably set me up for being a principal in a Catholic school. Didn't know that at the time. But I found that the 2 years that I was at Olivet, I really missed Catholic education. I missed working with high schoolers, for one, but I found that I really missed the community and the environment that I was in back at Hackett. And so after 2 years, I came back to Kalamazoo. I'd been commuting all this time, but I actually came back to Kalamazoo to work. Thought I was going to be back at Hackett as a teacher, but a position came open as a principal at one of our elementary schools. And I had no idea that I'd ever be in an administration.
And we all say that.
We all say that.
We do.
But took a position as a K-8 principal at one of our elementary schools at St. Joseph Elementary in the diocese, right in downtown Kalamazoo. And I think that is the point where I think things really started to change for me. My wife, you know, obviously we've been married for 2 years. We were expecting the birth of our daughter, at least our firstborn. And it was, you know, at that point where you really start to look at what's important. And I knew I'd missed the Catholic environment, and that's part of the reason I came back. But I also, in terms of being married, trying to be a good husband and be a good father, at least coming up there and being a good father, I started to think, you know what, I really need to get things in order. Not that I consider myself to be an incredibly bad person, but I thought, you know what, if I'm going to be this role model for my wife and for my child and for these kids at the elementary school, I really have to refocus my efforts and my energy in terms of my faith life. And so that was a lot of it right there. So I actually give credit to my wife for a lot of this, because she's non-Catholic. She became Catholic.
Oh, yay.
Which was really cool. So, you know, so she upgraded, we always say. So, which was great.
She became a 2.0, right?
Exactly. The new version. But so she became Catholic. So I definitely have to credit her for kind of, I guess, pushing me or reemphasizing, hey, this is important to all of us. You know, it's not just about you, but it's about our whole family. And so she became Catholic. So I credit her. I have to credit Monsignor Mike Osborne, who he's the one who really reached out to her. I mean, he'd been a good friend of mine working with at Hackett and knowing him and the way he interacted with the students at Hackett. So he was a strong influence on the kids. He was a strong influence on me. He became a strong influence on my wife as well. Mm-hmm. And it's really because of him. I don't think it's anything I did. Mm-hmm. I think it's really his influence that moved her to the faith. Mm-hmm. And but seeing that really emphasized for me, or reemphasized that, you know, this is really important. And of course, then having a daughter and then a son.
Yep.
You start to really figure out what's important. And then being, after 2 years, leaving St. Joe, becoming the principal at Hackett, and continuing that, you know, again, that own faith journey, trying to emphasize, you know, being a good steward, being a good role model, being a good Catholic for our students, was really, really important.
First of all, that's a fascinating story and one I can personally relate to. So I appreciate your sharing that. And I mean that, but I know I'm hurdling a whole bunch of questions that we already told you we were going to ask, because it's too relevant to let it pass by. I asked you when we sat down today, one of the things we would talk about is keeping the faith alive for 14 to 18-year-olds, because that's a challenging time for them. They're asserting independence. Mm-hmm. They're becoming young adults. They're beginning to make choices, and not all of their choices are necessarily the right ones, because we've all been there before. But you obviously can relate to them on so many different levels, because you were just like maybe some of them are, and that is, right, you were a Catholic in the name.
Right, absolutely.
And they and you have gotten more from it. How do you relate to that story, or how do you do that with students? I'm curious. I'm very impressed, actually.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I never thought of it as being impressed, but I thought about it as being who I am.
Right, exactly.
But I hope it comes across. I think maybe that's part of it, is I hope that comes across for students. And I think, I mean, in terms of the question, how do you keep that alive for high schoolers or for any, really for any student, I can think of a lot of different bullet points that come to my head. You know, one is that when you asked me initially about faith journey, I think that's really an important thing for everybody to realize. Mm-hmm. It is a journey. And it's going to be a long, arduous, bumpy, divergent-type pathway.
And we're not all on that journey at the same place.
And we're not
at the same place.
And it is okay. And I think that is maybe the first part of relating that to mm-hmm. students. Because, you know, for our students who come through, whether they're coming through from preschool or kindergarten all the way up into the high school level, or whether they jump in at the high school level, mm-hmm. it really doesn't matter. They're all in different places. It has nothing to do with the background of Catholic education that they may have had or not had. They're all in different places. And so you have to, and we all say it, and I'm still trying to figure out how to fully get even my teachers to appreciate it, but you have to meet them where they are. And they are all in different places. And we as adults are in different places. I mean, I think that's, nobody's really got their act together.
They just don't.
And I think of our chaplain, our current chaplain, Father Adams. He is very open and honest with our students about that journey and the idea that he doesn't have it all together. And that was actually part of his homily last week when we had Mass. He said, I struggle. I'm struggling right now trying to figure out if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and doing it in the right fashion. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's that realism that's really important for our students, and I think certainly for high schoolers, because they will call you on it. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter whether you're talking about faith or if you're talking about biology or if you're talking about mathematics. They will spot a lie in a heartbeat.
Sure they will.
And so you have to be – I mean, you have to meet them where they are. You have to be open and honest. Tell them that you struggle. Tell them that, you know, we're in this together. We hope for the best for all of us, and it's really because of that community support and all of us together that pushes us forward.
Right. I like to say we're walking each other home with a big H.
I like that, absolutely.
I think it's too. It's just really amazing to me. You know, we've done a number of these interviews with personnel from schools, principals mostly, and all along the way you hear that God has placed within you gifts and talents that you never expected mm-hmm. to turn out to be exactly for the vocation in which he's called you. And I'm sure you and I both feel the same, that this is a ministry. It's not a job. A job you can go out and apply for and get.
Right.
But a ministry you never asked for. You know, it just it comes to you.
Yes.
And with your diving and your swimming experience, having that gift and that placed you in a school of faith, for you to experience that you might never have had he not given you those gifts and talents.
Right,
and now it's come back full circle, and now you're on your journey and embracing it. And it's just like any other trip that you take. You have to look out the windows every now and again and say, hey, I'm enjoying this ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the hard times.
Yeah, and you have to be open to those different experiences.
Sure.
I didn't necessarily make the connection, but I mean, I think you're right. You have, you know, those gifts and talents that you develop. You don't know when they're going to be useful, mm-hmm. but at some point they are. You just don't know when, and you have to be open to that.
Purposely.
And yes, exactly. Yeah, so that really is that message for our students, too.
Sure.
You know, how do you keep it alive? Well, be open to God's plan. Know that at some point that you're going to be in it. You mm-hmm. don't know when or how, and you may not even realize it, but there is a plan for you. That's what you have to be open to.
Yeah. I kind of get this picture in my mind of God sitting up in heaven laughing the minute every new principal opens the door and says, how in the world did I get here? He's up there having a good chuckle.
Yeah. Absolutely. He must laugh every day then, because that's pretty much what I do.
That's so true. That's so true.
Well, speaking of journeys, though, Kalamazoo Hackett Catholic Prep has just taken a journey of its own with changing its name. Why don't you tell us how that plan came about and how that journey has come so far?
That has been a crazy journey, actually.
I like your honesty.
It has been a crazy journey, but it's been a lot of fun. And it's been, there's a lot of, I think, blood, sweat, and tears and laughter and everything that goes along with it because of that process. But, you know, for at least in Kalamazoo and Catholic schools around the country, we look at our enrollment, we look at what we do, and we're trying to get people to understand who we are and what we do and how we do it and why we do it. Specific to Kalamazoo, I know it's probably very similar to here in Grand Rapids. You have some great school districts surrounding. You know, I mean, up here we can talk about, you know, Rockford and Lowell and, you know, those districts, Kentwood, East Grand Rapids, you know, they have these great reputations. And so, you know, you have a lot of students flocking out that way into those different districts. Well, Kalamazoo has a lot of the same. We have a lot of Catholic parishioners in the area, but students aren't necessarily going to Hackett. They're going to Portage. They're going to Matawan. And we're also faced with the challenge of the Kalamazoo Promise, which says that if you go to Kalamazoo Public Schools for all 12 years, 100% of your college education can be paid for. And if you go from high school, 9th through 12th grade, I believe it's 65% of your college education will be paid for. And so that's, you know, those are some obstacles. You know, those are some things that we face.
That's huge.
It's huge, absolutely. I mean, it's an amazing gift, truly an amazing gift. But I know it's impacted us.
Yes.
It certainly has. It didn't impact us originally. I know it impacted our elementary schools where people heard that and they left. But now that's 6 or 7 years ago. So now those numbers that were in the elementary school went down. And then those lower numbers matriculate up to the high school. And it's a challenge for us. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we are constantly in the position of getting people to understand who we are, and why we are different. You know, and I'd love to say that we're better. I think we are. That's always something that gets a little touchy in terms of who you talk to. But I think part of our movement in changing our name was to get people to understand that we are definitely, we're more than high school. I mean, that's our tag, Hackett Catholic Prep, more than high school. And why is that? Well, there's a lot of things that we do. So back to your original question, when we were looking at the enrollment numbers, when we were looking at the population in Kalamazoo, greater Kalamazoo, and trying to understand why people are choosing or not choosing Hackett, we did some surveys. We hired a consultant, which can be a dirty word that, you know, people always look at that. Well, you hired a consultant, of course they're going to tell you to change, which is the case, certainly the case here. But we hired a consultant to come in, and this gentleman has worked with private schools and Catholic schools and Christian schools around the country. But he did some initial research where he talked to a number of our parents, a number of our students, and even those who weren't involved with the school, just to get a picture of what Hackett represented to them. And more often than not, the word that came back was preparation. Hackett prepares students for whatever. Now we've boiled that down. We've you know, kind of chiseled away and found that that's, you know, that's career and that's college and that's life and things like that. But preparation was the key word. And so that was kind of the initial start point for this conversation, a lot of the research in the background. And so we tossed around different ideas, different names, different ways of advertising and marketing that. And what it finally boiled down to was we chose to go with the name Hackett Catholic Prep. And in terms of the letter that we rolled out to parents for this description, one of the biggest things, I mean, we knew we were going to get some pushback, which makes sense. I mean, this is something that's, you know, Hackett's been around for 50 years. It's actually our 50th anniversary this year.
Congrats.
Thank you. Yes, it's an exciting, I mean, very, very exciting. And we didn't do this because it's the 50th. I think that the timing is just, you know, what's serendipitous. It just happened. We certainly didn't think that because it's 50 years old, we're going to have to change the name.
Right.
But this is where we are. But being cognizant of the 50 years, one of the things that was really important was maintaining the name. So we didn't change our abbreviations and become something different like All Saints Prep or something like that. It was really important to us that we keep some key features, one of which was Hackett.
And what is the background to that name?
Monsignor Hackett, Monsignor John R. Hackett.
Okay.
And so when the school was introduced in 1964, it wasn't even Hackett Catholic Central. It was Monsignor Hackett High School or Monsignor John R. Hackett High School. So we actually have a cadre of alum who still call it Monsignor Hackett.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of interesting even from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, depending, you'll know which years they graduated depending on what name they use, which happens quite a bit. So Monsignor Hackett was the original name of the school. If you're not within the Catholic tradition, you know, many won't even know what a Monsignor is.
Right.
But that is certainly our legacy, and we wanted to maintain that historical identity and that legacy. So Hackett, Monsignor Hackett, is who we are. It's who we will always be. And I've said that to students. I've said that to parents. I've said that to alum. And even in terms of how we present ourselves, you will still see Monsignor Hackett on a lot of our documents. That's kind of our official name.
Mm-hmm.
So Hackett was our legacy. It's our history. Catholic is our identity, and that was another, certainly an important piece. In some ways, I think it's something that was lacking when you said Monsignor Hackett. Now, back
right.
in 1964, I think most people knew what a Monsignor was, but as we moved away from that, many don't know what Monsignor is. Many don't know the history of the school, and so some don't even know that it's Catholic, and so... It was very important to us to maintain Catholic identity. And that's, again, who we are, who we will always be. It's something that we are very proud of, unequivocally Catholic. I know in some of the conversations we've had, you know, unapologetically
yep.
Catholic. I mean, that's who we are, and that's who we continue to be. When we were talking with the consultant and talking to people outside in the community, for the last, I'll say 10 years at least, we really tried to emphasize that Catholic identity. We are recognized by the Acton Institute. I mean, you have the National Catholic Honor Roll. So, you know, if you're up here in Grand Rapids, most are familiar with the mm-hmm. Catholic Honor Roll and the Acton Institute and all of that. So we were recognized for our Catholic identity a few years back with that survey. But that Catholic identity was very, very important for us. And so when we went out to the community, people would know that. Oh, you're a Catholic school. That's great. But what else?
Right.
That's it, you know. So our consultant, in his kind of his brash way, said, okay, you're a Catholic school. People know it. You're Hackett Catholic. How's that working for you? With the idea that if you continue to promote people to people that you're Catholic, that's great. It's going to influence a certain segment, but it's not going to catch everybody. And so that was kind of the next step in this. So Hackett is our heritage. Catholic is our identity. Prep is what we do.
It's what you do.
Mm-hmm. And so that was that final piece. And we really felt that we had, I guess, tagged onto or latched onto something really critical and really important. And it's really been staring us in the face for years.
Sure.
But we just really hadn't taken the time to analyze it and really look at it. So prep is what we do. And as we talk to, you know, our constituents, as we talk to alum, as we talk to prospective students and families, we emphasize all three of those pieces. And the idea with prep is we prepare for college. And, you know, the rates for Catholic schools across the country for college, you know, acceptance is great. I mean, we're all in the same boat from that standpoint, or really for the most part in the same boat. But we're looking at, you know, every year, if the students are in our school, they will graduate. So you're looking at graduation rates close to 100%. They're going off to college. Last year's rate was right around 95%. And, you know, that 5%, 4% that we were off, I know we had a few that didn't go off to college, but the others were military.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at a super high percentage that's going off to college, so 95, 96%. So we can talk about college prep. And with the courses that we offer, college prep means career prep. Career prep means life prep. And, of course, from our standpoint, because of our Catholic identity, we really think we have maybe cornered the market on everlasting life prep as well.
That's awesome.
So that's the full package, and that's what we try to roll out to people. It's
right.
Hackett Catholic Prep. We do more than high school. We are more than high school because of all of those different pieces.
Right. And yeah. Were people pretty blown away by all that? Are they pretty excited?
In a lot of different ways.
I bet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, very positive reception?
All in all, yes. It's funny. I don't tend to get all the negative. I mean, I know there's been pushback by some, but I haven't gotten a lot of the negative. I know some of it's out there. But for the most part, everything I've heard has been positive. It really has been.
And when did this official change start? This year?
Just this year. So we did kind of a soft rollout, if you will, over the course of last year. We kind of knew some of these pieces. We didn't really know about the name change per se, but we had come together with kind of the advantages or benefits of having a Hackett education. And we had rolled some of those benefits out in terms of our open houses and things like that. So I know that one of these was posted up on the bulletin board out there.
Nice.
It still says Hackett Catholic Central. So we're getting those remade. Yeah. But, I mean, the benefits for our students, you know, we found from a preparatory standpoint, you will go places, you will earn scholarships, you'll learn from teacher mentors, you'll build a personal relationship with God, and things like that. You know, it's certainly endemic to many Catholic schools, but we're really proud of what we can offer our students. And so for the most part, it's been positive. And when I get an opportunity to talk to people, almost every time it becomes even more positive, because it gives me a chance to tell them, this is why we changed, mm-hmm. and this is what it means. And so kind of what I just did here, when I can really go through those steps of heritage or history or legacy, and then the identity, and then the preparation, putting those together makes sense for people.
Sure.
Makes perfect sense, because if you break it off when you started at first, just, again, not being familiar with Hackett Catholic Prep, and you started at first with the legacy, heritage, history portion, I'm a person who believes wholeheartedly in those that have gone before us and built a legacy, and you should not turn your back on that.
Right.
You need to build upon what they've built, the foundation that they've laid.
Right.
So I think that's excellent. So I was right there with you through the whole thing going, this is great. And then the Catholic identity, we focus on that quite a bit, because we believe that's what hurdles us over.
Right.
All, you know, we can go toe-to-toe academically,
right.
technology, et cetera, but our Catholic faith is what hurdles us over, and we use that
yep.
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then you threw in the prep, because I was thinking, what is the matter with Hackett Catholic? I think it sounds great.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you threw in the prep, and that's almost like the icing on the cake.
Sure is.
Right. And that's
to think, and you knew the answer before he said it. That's why, oh, my goodness.
No, I really love the way you've tied all of that together, and isn't it it's just inspiring when you make a change. Most people don't like change, but principals, that's what we're all about, is we have to instigate change. And it does make some people very nervous when you start doing that. But the lovely thing about that is then you start looking introspectively at everything, and you start rethinking everything that you're doing and looking at everything with a fresh pair of eyes and involving people who never were involved. And you no longer take for granted that what you came into was a beautiful school that was extremely well run, that has a legacy of, you know, in our case, 90 years, that you've got all of that. You came into that, but now it's your job to make sure that that's all looked at again and again and again with fresh eyes, and be better, you know, than you imagined. So you've done that. Isn't that exciting?
It is super exciting. And I know we were joking, you know, with when you change a name, you have all sorts of new swag to hand out to people.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the swag.
Magnets and post-it notes and everything like that. But I think your point about the legacy and the alum and kind of working off the shoulders, you know, standing on the shoulders of giants, I think is maybe the best expression. And that's the message for our alum. We couldn't make this change without them. They had laid the foundation for the school. We've had a number of great graduates from Hackett, you know, over the years who have gone on to do wonderful things. And whether they remain in Kalamazoo or not, I mean, they're out there. And, you know, we build off of them. And we say thank you to them, because
sure.
they've laid the groundwork. They've proven that Hackett does prepare students. And so we're just building off of that and working off of that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's exactly how we look at it.
And that's how you have to translate it to them, because mm-hmm. just as you said a moment ago, it is your roles to keep things relevant.
Right.
Because that's one of the things that as a young adult with the Catholic faith and the Catholic schools, way back when I was growing up, it didn't seem relevant. It didn't seem like everyday important stuff. And I think with the way our world is now, we have to be relevant. We have to prove it because Catholic faith is alive, you know, and it's what we all need. So interesting, very exciting.
Yeah. It's been fun. It's exciting. It's nerve wracking. I mean, it's scary too, because you don't know how people are going to react. And for us, it has been for the most part positive, but you really do kind of stand on the edge of that cliff and take the jump. Right. Here
so
we go.
Were you all in a room together when you actually settled on Hackett Catholic Prep, or was it an email that was sent out, or was it a voicemail? You know, when everyone kind of goes, okay, this is it. Was there a big announcement?
There was a big announcement, but it actually kind of came out initially from our consultant. He said, look, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm hearing. So we've, you know, as we're mulling this around, this is what we're thinking. And we all kind of stopped and went, I don't know.
You were looking for something glitzy, weren't you?
Yeah. You know, I thought, you know, lights and explosions and fireworks.
Sure.
But it took us a second. And I think part of that is for us, and I don't know if, you know, because of where I'm from or where, you know, how we're perceived in Kalamazoo, you say prep, and that has some connotations to it that aren't necessarily positive.
Right.
And so it was, you know, it was that explanation that I gave, and it's the benefit statements and all those things coming together that said, you know what? This is who we are, and it's okay.
Sure.
So we are gonna utilize that. So we had kind of the initial small group talking about this, and we then kind of prepared a presentation that would then went to our faculty and staff, and then it kind of rolled out from there. So it was definitely a rolling process.
Did you go home though to your wife and say, "Here are the three words," and just see what her face looked like when you said it? You know,
I don't remember if I did or not. I think I was such a ball of stress at that point. I don't know if I did or not.
I'm sure, but it's very thought provoking. I think you're exactly right, and what it does for what you did for us was, it really allows for conversation. And once you get someone conversing, you've got anything.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's a moment of pure, I don't know what the word would be, but pure connection.
Right. I think my favorite part of it is that all of us want our babies to have the very best, even our high school babies, where,
absolutely,
you know, parents know that they get one shot at educating their child. And when you were talking about preparing them for eternity, that, if I were a parent out there with a child and trying to decide between high schools, that would be it,
right?
You know, because of our faith.
Well, that's our hope. And, you know, as you said, conversation is really, really important. So
we
found over the years, just from a marketing perspective, if we can get parents into our building just to take the tour and talk to our secretaries and see the climate, you know, that's impressive. I mean, we're going to probably bring in, what, 8 out of 10 of those families.
Absolutely.
Right around that number. So it's a high number, but we have to get them in the building. And that is part of this. When they look at that name or when they hear that name, hopefully at least gets them to pause for a second and say, oh, I didn't consider that before. Or what's going on there? What's different?
Sure.
And so that is part of it. So whether they choose us or not, certainly we want them to choose us. But at minimum, stop for a second just so you can think and ask the question and allow us to engage and have that conversation. That's really, really important. And I think the name does that.
Mm-hmm. I know you're doing a pilot this year of what I think sounds like a very exciting thing. You want to talk a little bit about your pilot program?
Absolutely. This is very cool. Let me back up. When you go back to just the Catholic theology curriculum at the high schools, you're talking about a document that's probably, what, maybe six years old out from the U.S.
USCCB.
Yeah, USCCB documents. So we've been working with that document, you know, aligning curriculum and trying to figure out what's the best way to go. And so they give you lots of different options at the high school level in terms of what you do, a lot of semester courses. And so it's the curriculum development, it's the textbook selection, all those sorts of things, which it's fantastic. And I really love the academic side of the theology. And that's also, I think, part of what helps keep some of this alive for our high school students, is that it's the academic side is very, very important. And so maybe you're not necessarily making a value judgment on them when it comes to their religion. I think that's been helpful to us when we can kind of take some of that away, because usually the response from a student when you're talking about theology and grades and such, well, how can you grade my faith? We're not grading your faith. We're grading the academic side. We're grading the theology. So that's helped us a bit. But and I think this curriculum has helped us. So as we've been working through this curriculum process, and this is at Hackett, and it's also at the two other diocesan high schools, Lake Michigan Catholic and Battle Creek St. Phil's, we came up with, we aligned everything. The theology teachers have been working together. That's been going on one side. Well, in one of our board meetings, Monsignor Hazard from St. Joe said, and we were sitting around together, and he said, you know, we give a lot of money to the schools, and we actually are supported very well in the Catholic schools of Greater Kalamazoo by our parishes. And Monsignor looks at me, and he looks at the board, and he says, you know, we give a lot of money for these schools. How do I know I'm getting my money's worth?
Ooh, good question.
And there's just silence,
yeah.
Of course. And nobody knew really how to answer. I mean, we could say, well, our kids are doing this, or they're doing this, and all the, you know, service hours, and they're studying the faith and all of that. But he says, no, how do I really know? After so many years, when they leave here, how do we really know they understand? And so that conversation, whether he realized it or not, that conversation went back into the theology departments. And what came out of it then was a capstone course. Or a capstone project. We are working on that right now, and it's been a lot of work. It's taken more than a year longer than we expected. And so I like to talk about it as kind of an undergraduate thesis. In this case, it's done at the high school level. It'll be done in the senior year or between the junior spring into the senior year. Students will have to prepare and present kind of an apologetic / presentation on some question within the Catholic faith. So the theology teachers in the diocese have generated like 100 questions, you know, that students will select from, and then they'll have to research and defend and, you know, talk about it publicly. So they'll have to write about it, they'll have to Prezi or PowerPoint it or do some other sort of video presentation. And that is the capstone project, and it's going to be like a thesis. We're still working on kind of a lot of the fine details, but it may be a pass-fail, it may be a grade. It's certainly going to be a graduation requirement for our high school students. This is going to go on next year with this current crop of juniors. So when they are seniors, they will all have to do the capstone project. This year at Hackett, we have a few of our current seniors who are piloting this for us, just to kind of see what does it look like. So they're going to be doing the research. We'll be assigning faculty mentors. And so this is a case where your entire faculty can be involved. This isn't just a theology teacher project. Students will be assigned to different members of the faculty to talk about all these different components. So it may be the English teacher, it may be a science teacher, it may be a foreign language teacher. It really doesn't matter, but everyone should be or is supposed to be engaged in this project. But in the end, when it all comes to fruition, the top scholarships, and this is within all three high schools, but the top students can earn scholarships provided by the diocese.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So and they're talking about a pretty healthy chunk of change.
So two questions.
Them.
One, that means there's going to need to be some training for the rest of the faculty then, mm-hmm. right? They'll have to, yeah. You'll have to do some in-services yeah. so that they know how to be good mentors for this and what right. the expectation is. And the second question that I have is, who do they present to?
That's what I was going to ask.
Don't know yet. That's part of some of the details. What they will do is, I know initially they'll present to a panel within the school.
Right.
So that could be the principal, the theology teacher, the chaplain, you know, a combination of people. Mm-hmm. We don't even know who exactly yet. I'm pretty certain I'll be in on that group. But then the top ones will go off to the diocese to compete, so to speak. And I'm sure the bishop will be part of that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it'll be the bishop, the chancellor, you know, a few of the pastors. You know, who knows? But
yeah.
it's exciting. It's scary.
Sure.
Because it's really something different. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't tend to see stuff like this at the high school
yeah.
level. But it's exciting, and I'm really excited about it. I think
right.
I think this kind of goes back to the reason I like it. Is because this is one of those pieces that goes back to the prep.
Mm-hmm.
We are preparing our students to do bigger and better. And they have, I mean, these are skills mm-hmm. that they should have anyway.
Sure.
But we're proving it. And so really, you know, for Monsignor to say, am I getting my money's worth? I think we can say, yes, you are, because they're defending and having knowledge of that theology topic. But I also like the other portion of it where, I mean, they're writing and presenting and speaking and all of those different things, mm-hmm. because that's also a validation for our other teachers, for our other departments and things that they're doing. You know, so it's an overarching project.
And it may be a very good way for a student to get their foot in the door in a college, too. Mm-hmm. It may end up being a wonderful part of their portfolio. Exactly. I'd be very impressed to see something like that if I were hiring as well in my school. If a teacher came to me with something like that, I'd be pretty impressed.
Well, I think it's one more thing that we can do, one more thing that we can provide that other schools don't. We know that, and we've seen that, demonstrated that our students are very, very active at our schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do a lot of different things. I mean, that's athletics, that's clubs, that's theater, whatever the case is. But we found that the service hours that they have to perform, our students have to perform 20 hours of service every year over the course of their 4 years, so 80 hours total. Many of our students go above and beyond.
Sure.
You know, 300 hours, 400 hours over the course of their careers. But we have found, it's been demonstrated that those service hours are another key factor in getting students into colleges. And now we're seeing and hearing that those students who continue those service hours in the college level, that is a huge factor for them getting positions in jobs, corporations, mm-hmm. companies, whatever, as they graduate from college. It's that next piece.
Yeah, it speaks to the inner person. It speaks not just to the fact that they're willing to step out there and do something for someone else, but it speaks to what's important to that person. Mm-hmm. That is an important part of it.
I am curious, though. You said that there are questions, and they would select out what types. Who authored that? Who's coming up with those?
Initially, it's our theology teachers throughout the diocese. They had asked. It's interesting because we had a meeting this morning with the high school principals and our superintendent. She was asking for those questions. I know we have about 60 generated so far.
Really?
But it's actually the theology teachers who are generating those.
Do you have any examples of any of the questions?
Unfortunately, I don't.
No worries.
I think that, unless I pull it up on an email, but I know they could be apologetics related. They could mm-hmm. be church history related. Those are kind of the two key areas that are just off the top of my head that I don't have any specific, at least knowledge-wise.
And curious, when you say present and you said PowerPoint mm-hmm. and you said, would there be like, because generally, and I like your relating it to a thesis project, mm-hmm. Generally that's not a 10-minute show, you know? I mean, this is obviously something that they will prepare for over the course of the year. And so it should be a pretty meaty document. Yeah. And then a pretty heavy-duty presentation
as
well.
I'm guessing about 30 minutes.
That's excellent.
That's my guess.
We'll see.
I think this first year may be interesting. I know we're going to pilot it this year, so that will give us a little bit better sense of what we're looking for. Or, it's going to be 4 or 5 students this year to pilot. So if they go for 30 minutes or 20 minutes or 15 minutes, I mean, what we'll find is it rich enough or robust enough?
Right.
You know, is it really what we're thinking of?
Right.
Or should it be longer or shorter or whatever the case may be? So it's really pretty neat. I want to kind of come back to the idea, you know, we're talking about the capstone. Some of the things that we've done with the curriculum then is in anticipation of the capstone project, we've even made some modifications to what the USCCB has asked. So, for example, this current year in all the diocesan high schools, we've added a philosophy component to both our freshmen theology courses, and then our senior theology courses, because mm-hmm. we feel that those are some important, like rhetoric, and there's some important skills there that they have to develop before they go off and develop these theses.
And that, in the long run, only helps them further down the road as well, too.
Right.
So that's excellent all the way around.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's almost multidisciplinary. You've put in for a student to be able to answer that question and to do it with poise and have a presentation to go with it. That's demonstrating a whole lot.
It is. And I mean, we are excited about it. We also know that you're going to have students at a lot of different levels. So mm-hmm. even from a grading standpoint, what does it look like? Is mm-hmm. it pass, fail? Is it a minimum proficiency? Based on what rubric? I mean, all those, you know, all the teacher questions that come up. But it's, you know, and we have to be cognizant of students with, you know, special needs and, you know, can they present or not present or present in what fashion or format. So, you know, all those things have to be worked out as well. But it really is an exciting project. It's been a long time coming, but it's finally getting there.
That's excellent. Was it met with excitement from the students? I know you're piloting it with
probably
five.
Not.
Right. It's just something for them to do. But you know what? I would suspect as they go through the process, maybe not this year. You know, I know you only have a select few this year, but maybe their freshman or sophomore year in college, they'll be very grateful for that experience.
Yeah.
Very grateful.
Certainly, that's
it.
What we're hoping. I don't think it was met with cheers, but I think for this year's seniors who are piloting it, again, there's only a few, so they did that of their own accord. They said, yes, I want to try it. I want to see what, you know. So that, I think maybe they're looking ahead saying, I might get something out of this, or this might be a value to me. So for those four or five, I'm sure they're excited. For the other students, maybe, you know, they don't have to worry about it, so it's not such a big deal. But yeah. I think it'll certainly sink in then with this current group of juniors, you know, as they work into the project. You know, what does this mean? Okay, now I'm really uncomfortable with this and a little scared, and, you know, how's this all going to work out? So I think it's going to be mixed.
Yeah.
But I also believe that in the end, it's going to be a very good thing. And I certainly, like you said, you know, freshman or sophomore year of college, I did this in high school. This is easy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's what you love to hear. Those are the stories, even whether it's a capstone project or just the work that our students do at the high school level and then go off to college, that, you know, for those students to come back, that's one of the rewards of being a high school teacher in particular. Oh, you know, when we talked about this, well, we're doing this in college now, and I have all the answers, and I know what's going on, and I feel very comfortable with this, and I have you to thank for it.
Right.
So when they come back to a teacher to do that, that's always a great blessing for us, and we love that.
You know, I imagine, I don't know how many, we call them feeder schools, but how many elementary schools feed into your high school?
Two primarily.
Okay.
In Kalamazoo, we have the Catholic schools of Greater Kalamazoo. And so we have Hackett as the high school, and then we have St. Augustine and St. Monica's as the two primary feeder schools. And then support for the three schools comes from eight supporting parishes.
Okay.
That are close. It's so within the geographic region. So those are our two primary feeders. And again, we have the pastors of those parishes supporting us as well, which is great. We also have a few outlying schools. So St. Margaret's up on Otsego, we'll get a few students from. Three Rivers, we'll get a few students from. But it's really the two, you know, St. Augustine and St. Monica's are the primary ones.
Boy, if I was on the ropes about whether to send my child to a Catholic high school following elementary, knowing that they do a capstone project and maybe even from the elementary schools, finding some parents willing to sit on that committee that listens to those. Wow.
That would be neat.
Yeah, or even elementary principals that could speak to that.
I'm jotting this down.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking, you know, we look at our Catholic high schools, and we're blessed here in Grand Rapids. We have two that are extremely good about staying in contact with the elementary schools, giving us information about things that they're doing, inviting us into events happening in their schools, and making sure that our parents are aware, because that's a huge decision for a lot of families to make that decision to send their child to high school. And, well, what am I getting that I'm not going to get at this very fine public high school, which is free?
Right.
But you cannot replace the value of, you know, a Catholic education, in my opinion, and I'm sure in yours, but being able to eloquently talk about it from the viewpoint of a student, I think would be a selling point for most parents.
Yeah, it is. And we do have a lot of the same outreach. You know, certainly we're talking to our elementaries quite a bit and inviting them over and back and forth. So they shadow, and, you know, the eighth graders come in and shadow and do things like that. But we find, even with our open houses that we do, it's our students that do the presenting. So we do an open house in the fall, and parents come in with their students, and it's our students who lead the groups. You know, we give them some bullet points and kind of train them a bit so that they can, you know, communicate eloquently, hopefully, and have some information and fill up some of that dead space, because it is a little awkward to tour adults and kids around. But it's our students who do it. And as I say to our students, no other school does this, certainly not in our area. You can't necessarily, and this is going to sound really bad, but I'm going to say it anyways, you can't necessarily trust students to do that.
Right.
But we trust our students to do that, and they do a bang-up job every single year. And we have, I mean, from the parents, just rave reviews. You know, so we worked with so-and-so, and they were so awesome, and they took our, you know, they took us around. They were able to answer all of our questions, and they present themselves so well. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what I want for my student, that they can have this poise, and they can have this the wherewithal to do things like that.
Right.
So it's
now your
part
capstone.
Of the selling.
Yeah, your capstone now then quantifies
right.
what is a four-year education at that school going to produce for me. Now they see, you know, mm-hmm. not only are they poised and all the things that initially got them in the door, but wow, look at the depth of knowledge that they have about their faith right, and right. have brought it all together.
Sure.
Yeah, I think I'd that's be cool. considering getting some elementary parents on board.
I think that's a great idea. I
yeah.
really do.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting. It's going to be kind of like a name change. It's going to be a little nerve-wracking and a little stressful, mm-hmm. but I think it's going to be a positive. I know it's going to sure. be a positive in the end, and I think it's what our parents are looking for, and it's what our students are looking for. It's what we as educators are looking for. We want to know that we've established this kind of this at least this baseline level of knowledge and skill, and it's quantifiable. Mm-hmm. It's right there for us to see, and I'm excited to see the end product.
Yeah.
Something tells me, though, because I've just met you, although we've corresponded by email a couple of times, that you've noted that the name change was a little stressful and this capstone project is a little bit stressful. But something tells me you kind of enjoy that because, I mean, you wouldn't do it if you didn't enjoy it. You know, you embrace change and you look on how to make it relevant, as we said earlier today, which is excellent.
Yeah, I never thought I'd agree with that, but I think you're right. Because change is hard, but change happens.
Right, absolutely.
Change happens. And I would rather... I think one of the things that I've learned over the years as a principal is part of that is trying to be proactive versus reactive. And
right.
So if there's going to be change, then, you know, I should be the one directing that change.
Right.
Or I hope I'm the one directing
mm-hmm.
that change.
And
right.
managing it.
And managing it. Because, yeah change will happen. But,
right.
You know, I don't think you can have the victim status. I think you really have to.
Right.
Manage that change and, you know, hopefully know where you're going and what that end mm-hmm. product is going to be. So it's just like designing curriculum or anything else. Begin with the end in mind. And in our case, with the name change and what we want for our school, you know, competitively, I want to be the best darn high school in the state of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's start with the state of Michigan and then let's branch out from there.
Right.
You know, I think that's a achievable goal, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it's a matter of, okay, if you're the best, then how do you measure that? What are the deliverables?
Right.
Is that ACT scores? Is that a capstone project? Is that athletic endeavors? I mean, I don't know. It's a lot of those things. But, you know, more than anything, that's what we're hoping for.
Well, and you are giving that one more measurable. As people are mm-hmm. comparing high schools, they can look at all the scores they want to, but how many can say, we have a capstone project. Mm-hmm. Hey, would you like to see last year's? Would you like to...
Right.
You know,
right, and that actually will
having,
be part of
having
it.
A library
we'll videotape,
of them.
Yeah, we'll mm-hmm. videotape and have them cataloged in different ways. So we will definitely have those. You
yeah.
know, take the best ones at least and have those present for people to see. I don't know if we'll end up streaming them. That's the beauty of technology now. You can do all sorts of different things. You can stream them and, you know, archive them for later or just put them onto the website so that, you know, other people can see them, use them as examples, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's fun stuff.
And I agree with your philosophy. Parenting three now children in their 20s, I long ago were the teens, but those are the years. And I remember my daughter saying to me one time when she had a big change she was going to share with the family, and suddenly I was supporting her, and she said, you know, when did you decide to jump on board? And with change, you can say, I'm either going to fight you tooth and nail and lose you over it, or I'm going to take the initial change with what you just said, look to the end result, and work with you through the process. And I think as principals, you have to do that. I'm sure you do on a daily basis.
Sure.
Yes, absolutely.
You know.
That's part of the sick attraction to being a principal, I think.
It is.
Yeah.
But it kind of brings us full circle back to the idea of keeping faith alive for our students. Because
right.
you have to meet them where they are. There's going to be wholesale changes in their lives over the course of 4 years at the high school level. I mean, they're going to go up and down, and they're going to change their minds about things. And I mean, they're going to leave and come back. I mean, all those different things. But, you know, the end goal is we want, you know, good, faithful Catholics, knowing that the journey is going to be difficult. but you hope you're there to support them as they make those different decisions.
Sure.
Meet them where they are.
Yeah.
And understand, too, that, you know, the parents aren't always on the same place, same plane, even as their students.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
You know? I mean, age and experience doesn't necessarily, you know, is not equal to solid faith.
Right.
At least not always.
And that's where we need to be good at what we do as principals and as schools in evangelizing mm-hmm. for those parents, because their children will be good examples.
Right.
You know, and what parent does not want their child to have a rich faith life? I don't know sure. that any parent would mm-hmm. say, no thanks.
Right.
I'd rather they know how to do this or that. But no, everybody wants their child to be happy and connected.
Although it's probably funny. I know it's a little bit humorous at the elementary level when you have this, you know, the parent or the students coming home, you know, because they learn so much and they want to share that with their parents. And, you know, even just the Sunday obligation, you know, mom and dad, we need to be at mass on Sunday.
Right.
And the mom and dad are like, okay, yeah, well, we have this to do and this to do. And I, you know, I think it's neat when the students come back and they push that and the parents come along as well.
Yeah.
Because we see that a lot.
Absolutely. I mean, we've said in more than one occasion on this radio show that not only are we educating the students, a lot of times we're educating the parents too. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I don't think that they mind after a while. Initially, they might say, what?
Right.
But then after they kind of get in and they see their children or they do participate in a community event or a mass, I think that they really are hooked with it.
Mm-hmm. So. I agree.
Yes,
sure. Absolutely.
We only have just a few minutes left, but we have there's more. I know you wanted to share about the Diocese of Kalamazoo and exciting things happening. If you just had one that you would highlight before we're all done today, is there something that comes to mind?
Well, one that I want to bring up, partly because Susie Boone would kill me if I didn't, is the Presence.
Susie, this one's for you.
Yeah, Susie, this one's for yes. you. The Presence Retreat. It's actually a diocesan retreat. It's a Eucharistic adoration, Eucharistic retreat that's held at Hackett. It's not sponsored by Hackett, but it's held at Hackett. We've done it the last 2 years. Participation last year, or 2 years ago, the first year, I believe, was right around 150 kids. Last year, right around 350 kids.
My goodness.
It's been amazing.
Wow.
So Susie, you know, she said, you got to plug this again. Mm-hmm. So I am plugging it, and it's a great event. It
great.
Really is. So
annual event.
It's become an annual event.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And so
and how would they contact Susie?
Well, the best bet is through the website that she's okay. developed. It's called thepresence.org. Right? Maybe let me make sure I have that correct. ThePresenceKalamazoo.org.
Excellent.
And that's just for students or adults
students.
As well?
It is for high school
so
students.
So do you need a chaperone? I'm thinking I can't think of anything more enjoyable.
We would always I know they would always love chaperones.
Retreat.
And mainly with the number of students that have come along
right.
over the last couple of years. The adult presence is really super important because it's yeah. It's a 2.5 day event. I mean, they're spending the night at Hackett and
right.
they're sleeping over, and it's a 24/7 or at least 24-hour, two-and-a-half-day event.
Excellent.
So adults are really key to that. But the PresenceKalamazoo.org, it's been a great event. I know Susie's excited about it.
That's
so
awesome.
That's good.
Tim, I'm kind of feeling like we're going to have you back on the show.
I think so, too.
I think we're just scratching the surface.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Thank you so much
Absolutely.
For joining us today.
Well, anytime is good. I know that usually the fun drive is a good time to come up, and Catholic Schools Week is another good time to come up.
Right.
But I think we have to promote our Catholic schools outside of Catholic Schools Week. And so having the radio station like this is fantastic. Having a presence not just in Grand Rapids but on the web and now Kalamazoo and Battle Creek is super important. So I know I'm open to it, and I'm sure any of the other principals, at least in my neck of the woods, would be open to it as well.
Absolutely. Thank you. Because we agree. We are not ever here to just talk about what we do at our school. It's about Catholic education. And it's to all the listeners out there who might not know what goes on behind closed doors of our schools.
Sure.
And we want to bring that out to them.
Right. And there's powerful things happening and exciting things happening in the Catholic schools. And so we just want to make sure everybody gets that.
Absolutely.
Well, we thank you for joining us today.
Excellent.
We thank
you.
Our listeners for joining us again this week on Unapologetically Catholic. We hope you have an amazing day, and God bless.
You've been listening to Unapologetically Catholic on Holy Family Radio. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please email us at unapologeticallycatholic@holyfamilyradio.net. If you would like to listen to this program again or share this program with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week. May God bless your day.